The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Hey, this is Dustin Perry from Ghost Hunters, and you're listening to Dave and Mike on the Odyssey Files. It's not the best show you're ever going to listen to, but it's also probably not the worst.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. You are listening to the Odyssey Files at 7 o'clock on Monday. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. With me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Mr. Dave Soiring. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening. How is everybody?
Well,
that would be you.
Technically, I'm the only one here, but...
All right.
Well, it's, you know, day 736 of rain.
Yeah, and we got at least two more to go, so.
I need to mow my lawn, and I can't.
Well, no, yeah, you're not going to mow your lawn.
It's an eyesore. Like, I saw mushrooms in my front yard. So, if anybody has some truffles, they want to come and pick them out of my front yard, apparently.
There you go.
So, yeah, it's never good. You know, when I first moved into this house a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I actually made my dad laugh because I told him, I drive down the road and it's just manicured lawn after manicured lawn. And then you get to mine and it's just this dandelion, you know, extravaganza and crabgrass. And I don't know what these people did. They did like a lot of work with landscaping, rocks and stuff like that. They did not take care of the lawn.
No.
And it just looks, it's an eyesore. And I don't know. It's irritating to me because I don't want it to be that way. I want it to be, I'm not a big conformist, but I do like a nice lawn.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I do. Yeah, I always did too. I mean, I always liked it.
You know, and I was told by coworkers, like, well, you can't fertilize, not fertilize, but you can't, you know, run your cart out there with the lawn turf builder and stuff like that. You can't do that a lot because it will
four times a year.
He said like once, and no. then my cousin, who actually worked for a landscaping company, said that they would do it once at the beginning of the season and once at the end.
Yeah,
but then I drive down the road and I see like the same guy doing it like once a month, and
well, that's probably a 10-10-10 of just just a general low maintenance type of fertilizer for just kind of a standard growth. The only time you would apply mid season would be if you were having like some crabgrass or some creeping Charlie or some dandelion problems. Then you would throw in a dose of that type of preventative. And then you want to give it a good feeding in the fall before winter, because then next spring you already got a big head start because a lot of those weeds will be choked up. So.
Did everybody get that?
Well,
people listening? I mean,
I've owned three houses and I owned houses for over 30 years. So I took care of all my lawns.
No. I got that. I was just saying that not only do we talk about paranormal on the show, but we talk about proper lawn care on the show.
But we do proper lawn care too. Dang it.
we're a multifaceted show.
Hey, baby.
Multifaceted show. So before we get into tonight's actual topic, for the first time I was asked to do this, so I want to do it because I think it's going to be pretty sweet. But our wonderful friend, Miss Lindsay Center of Center Stage Events, who is a big part of getting a lot of our wonderful guests that come on here, asked me to put out a promo, I guess you want to call it, for the new Expedition Unknown 4-part series that they're doing. I wish I could have done this last week, but I didn't have it last week, and it the first episode aired last night.
Yep.
So I saw it. It was awesome. I'm so looking forward to the rest of them. But so Josh Gates, who I will find a way to get him on this show.
Oh yeah, Josh is a good guy. He's coming on.
Yeah. He's definitely going to be coming on. But is doing a 4-part Expedition Unknown series to start his season in his new channel. He's now on the Discovery Channel, which is every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. And he's doing a 4-part show about the afterlife. So, and I think the reason that Lindsay's involved is because it has... These 4 episodes include Chip Coffey, Grant Wilson, Amy Bruni, and Adam Berry.
Yep.
Which are all on her roster. So this is what she would like me to say. So in Russia, Josh works with transhumanists attempting to harness technology to live forever. World-famous psychic Chip Coffey delivers an impossible message from the great beyond. And in a village in the mountains of Indonesia, Josh meets villagers who live with the dead, using age-old rituals to keep their spirits alive. Aboard the infamously haunted ship the Queen Mary, Josh joins world-famous paranormal investigators Grant Wilson, Amy Bruni, and Adam Berry for a shocking ghost search, as well as the first-ever investigation of the ship's propellers, which visitors claim seem to still emit an otherworldly hum. Josh also ventures deep into the Amazon to consume ayahuasca. I completely hacked that.
That's a total butcher job, but that's okay.
Are you sure? Do you know what it is?
No.
Oh, well then, duh. You don't know that. let me just spell this out for you so that you can pronounce it yourself. Get a pen, everybody.
All
right. A-Y-A-Y-H-U-A-S-C-A. Ayahuasca. Anyway, the so-called Vine of Death, in an effort to make a direct contact with the other side. So Expedition Unknown, Search for the Afterlife, airs in 4 parts starting this Sunday, which was yesterday, 10 p.m. on the Discovery Channel. Each episode is followed by After the Search, a roundtable special from Expedition Unknown headquarters featuring never-before-seen footage, behind-the-scenes secrets, and more. Nicely done, Lindsay. Well worded.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful.
Did you need me to respell that word?
No, I'm good. Oh. I'm going to run with how you pronounced it.
if anybody needs to, I don't know how you pronounce that. I've never even seen the word before. So give me a break.
No, I agree. I haven't either. So,
I highly recommend just watching them after the first episode. That I think the rest of it's going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah, I didn't see it yet. It's on the DVR, but I'm definitely watching it. So
okay, so you don't want me to give anything away?
No.
Okay. All right. Because they do, which kind of sucks because I kind of want to talk a little bit about one of the things that happened in the show. But never mind. Maybe next week.
We'll be caught up next week.
Yeah. Well, then you'll have another one. You'll be one more behind.
Well, no. Well, I knew what was happening. No, I'll watch it next Sunday. I knew what was happening because Grant posted something on Facebook that I commented on, and then it was kind of got into a discussion, and then we had kind of a foreshadowing that something cool was coming up, and so I'm excited. This is going to be a great start to his show.
Wait. Grant finally let you on his friends list?
Oh, I've been on his friends list for quite a while now.
Because I remember we had such a hard time getting you on his friends list. Like we had to take his phone from him and be like, which one is Dave?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I couldn't remember.
Like last year, I was like, well, fine. If you're not going to be my friend, then I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And then all of a sudden he was like, well, just resend it. And so I reset it and he goes, okay, fine, you're in. He's like, hi, good to see you here.
good to see you here. So tonight's episode, or tonight's show, tonight's topic, however you want to do it. I think it's a serious one. I think it's one that not a lot of people look at, for whatever reason. And that is dreams. And there are so many different aspects to it that we can talk about. Obviously, like dream interpretation, that's probably a show in of itself. Because I don't understand. I did some research on that. I mean, I knew that that's not really kind of what I wanted to get into, but I still wanted to look at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of things that a lot of people go with, like Freudian type explanations of dreams and stuff like that. But the thing that always bothered me, and maybe that's just because I've never experienced it, is the interpretation of falling. Like, I've never fallen in my dreams.
Really?
Yeah. I don't understand, because somebody told me once with that a couple times over the course of my life of what that is supposed to represent. And I can't remember now. It's like something about you're having a hard time figuring out something, or.
Don't look at me. I'm not a dream interpretation master.
I thought that maybe over the course of your career that you would have come across like that interpretation.
Well, I have come across actually quite a few, because I was just gonna chime in and say, if you don't know the answer to that one, that's a good thing, because I also have I've had the falling dream, but only a handful of times over the course of my life. But the one that I have most frequently, that recurring anyway, is I'm at school and I got a big test and there's nobody in the hallway, and I show up at my locker and I can't remember my locker combo, and the stuff that I need is in my locker. And there's nobody there to help me. I'm all by myself, and I can't get in my locker, and I'm going to fail at whatever it was. It's not anything specific. It's not like I'm going into a biology test or a chemistry test or a math test. It's just I need to get into my locker. I can't remember the combination. And I think that is like it's frustrating as hell in the dream. Trust me.
Well, how does that deal with falling? You're not falling anywhere.
No. I said I've had the falling dream, but the most recurring dream I have is I can't get my combination.
Sorry. I thought I misunderstood. I thought you were saying that the most recurring falling dream that you
have. No. Just most recurring dream that I have is that locked out, kind of out of my school locker. And it's always the same school locker. It's always the same hallway. It's always the same stupid, I can't get in there and I need to. And then I'm frustrated and I can't find anybody to help me. And then I wake up angry, you know.
So, this was actually really, really funny to me, because I did a search for just the definition. What is the definition of a dream? You know, that type of thing.
Yep.
And this is when you can tell that Google is trying to be way smarter than it needs to be. Because it'll give you the definition, but then obviously it'll use it in a sentence.
Yeah.
You know, as to back up what their definition is.
Right.
And like the first one that I read, the ones obviously an let me see here, a series of thought, images, and sensations occurring in a person's mind during sleep. You know, that type of thing.
Right.
Then obviously like a cherished aspiration, ambition or ideal, you know, obviously that my childhood dream, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And then they did contemplate the possibility of doing something or that something might be the case. And this is the sentence that they used to back it up. I wouldn't dream of foisting myself on you.
I wouldn't dream of voicing myself on you.
Foisting. F-O-I-S-T-I-N-G.
Foisting.
Foisting.
Well, sure, because that's a common term in the U.S. I wouldn't even think about foisting myself on you, Mike. We've said that hundreds of times to each other.
I had to look that up. I've never even seen that word before.
I haven't either, to be honest with you.
And that's when you know that Google is trying a little too hard to be above, above something. But so I thought that was absolutely hilarious that they would just use that so uncommon term that I've never heard or seen in my life.
And what does foisting mean, since you looked it up?
Oh, I can't remember.
Oh.
All right, here we go.
So you enlighten me.
impose an unwelcome or unnecessary person or thing on.
Okay.
So basically, I forced myself upon you, you know, that right. kind of thing.
Basically, I'm intruding on you. So they couldn't yes. use the word intruding. They needed to use the word foisting.
Or I would never force myself
force
on
myself,
you.
Right.
Yeah. I would never dream of forcing myself on you. Why they had to go like that direction? No idea. But they could have used it in way different terms. But
I agree.
Okay. So.
So
dreams. So the first thing that I would like to, the first part about it that I would like to do is psychic dreams. And this is something, you know, precognizant. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Precognizant dreams.
Yep.
And I don't know if those are normal, if they're or if they're rare or if they're common. I mean, do you ever have those?
I have. I wouldn't say that they're, I would say they're probably not common, but I wouldn't say that they're like really rare either. I think they're kind of somewhere in the middle, you know?
Okay.
I mean, so here's something. So, and kind of going along with that, but I just want to throw this out there too. So I saw a stat once and before, actually, you know what, before I say this, I'm going to look it up real quick. So go ahead and go. Cause I just want to make sure I'm right when I say it.
Okay.
I think I am, so, but I'm going to double check.
So the funny thing is, and I don't know, because I hear stories, obviously, of mothers, you know, that kind of thing. They have these dreams and flashes, and I mean, I guess you could call them visions if they're awake. But you know, they're often of the, like their kids or whatever getting hurt and that type of thing.
Right.
I know that I've seen a lot of the paranormal shows, you know, the re-dramatizations where somebody had a recurring dream about walking through a house that they've never been in. And then, you know, 5 years later, all of a sudden, boom, you know, there's that house.
Right.
And naturally they buy it and it's haunted. Shocker. But for me personally, I have had them. I've had a lot of them. But they're like very mundane, like they're crap. You know, it's always, it's never about anything bad happening, and it's never like the next week, but it's seriously, I'll completely dismiss it as being some random, you know, crap thing that happened, because it's always like I'm sitting at a desk that I've never sat at before, and I'm in a room that I've never been in before, and I'm talking to people I've never known before. And so I dismiss it.
Do you have a spotlight in your face? Is it all dark except for the bright white light shining at you?
No, okay. Not at all.
Okay. I was going to say, cause that might be something right there, but I get you. So you're like, it's like an office setting.
Well, not all the time. I can remember right now, there was a school one. It wasn't like yours. I was just walking down the hallway.
Okay.
But I've never seen the school, you know, that kind of thing. Like I've never been in this place before, but there's lockers and stuff. So I know where I am.
Right.
So no, it's a fully immersive, like I'm talking to people. I'm doing stuff that a normal person would do, but it doesn't mean anything to me. So I don't think about it at all. And then, like, seriously, like, years down the road, I mean, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, it'll be some random Tuesday at, you know, 2:30 in the afternoon, and I'll be like, holy crap, I've dreamed here. This.
Yeah, I've been here before. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the deja vu, but, right. like, it's the most crappiest version and, like, uninteresting version of deja vu ever. And I'll be like, and now this person's going to come through the door, you know, and I'm,
right.
and it's, and something I haven't thought of since the day it happened, all of a sudden just hits me hard. Like, and I had a dream about, my desk at Rouen but I didn't work for Rouen at the time. And I'd never been there before. I never even expected that I would ever be working for them. And then all of a sudden, after like, you know, a year of working for them, boom, this hit me out of the blue.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's common or not, but it happens all the time. Well, I shouldn't say all the time, but it's happened multiple times is what I want to say. Not all the time, but it's always something just mundane and run of the mill, nothing spectacular to it. And I always ask the question, why was I shown this? What was the entire point of anything that had to do with this?
Right.
But you don't ever like really get that.
You know, I've had them, and you know, to me, I call those premonitions. So premonitions and precognitive dreams are probably one and the same, honestly. I get a lot of deja vu moments, but I think that there's a higher level than those simplistic deja vu moments. And I'm going to point exactly to what I'm talking about. So you remember when I told you that I had that precognitive dream about we walked into an old abandoned school. You remember I was telling you all about that. And I said that there was a group of us and you certainly were there, but I didn't see any of you, but I could feel you were there with me. And there were a couple other people only. And I took the first couple of steps into the schoolhouse, and all of a sudden from both sides of the hallway at the top of the flight of the stairs, all of that black, like heavy, dark evilness just came roaring in like a freight train. And then it came racing down the stairs right at me, and somebody grabbed me by the neck and pulled me back out the doors. That happened. That's going to happen.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, it was years ago.
It was years ago. I remember you telling me it was not a school, though. Or at the time, you did not say it was a school.
Yeah.
You did. It was obviously a really big building. I remember you talking about
had that flight of stairs going up.
A flight of stairs going up. You said, I think there was a bulletin board.
Yep, at the top of the stairs.
At the top of the stairs. I remember what brought that up was that we were thinking of going to, because I showed you the picture of the Randolph Infirmary that's in Ohio that I passed when I wasn't over
Indiana.
The road. Is it Indiana?
Yeah, it's right off of 65.
Okay. Because I still have the photos on my phone.
Yep.
In fact, Paranormal Lockdown was there.
Yep.
I remember that you were saying that wouldn't it be maybe not cool, but wouldn't it be amazing if, because we were planning on going there. Like we were looking it up to, to go and see if they would allow this type of thing. And I remember you saying about what if that was the place that you had, that you were talking about. I don't think you specifically said it was a school, but I definitely remember you telling me about that.
I think you're right. I don't think it was a school. I think it was the bulletin board. And so in my mind, that bulletin board was kind of representative of what might be at the top of the stairs, like in a school hallway. But it also could have been in an office building, honestly. It could have been in anything like that, you know. But I'll know when I walk through the doors, because I tell you what, as soon as when we get to that location, and we will get there because you were with me, when we get to that location, I'll know that I'm in that front stairwell, because it's going to come roaring right back to me before all of the darkness comes racing across. So, yeah, go me! I can't wait. Woo!
but at least you know you have at least one more investigation in you.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, and you or one of the other two people that are there are going to grab me and jerk me out of the building. So I got that going for me too.
I don't know why I would use the neck though, but whatever.
Well, it's like the collar, you know, like my shirt collar, and just grab me and yank me backwards, kind of thing.
So, is that normal?
No,
the precognitive psychic type. You know, seeing the future, is that normal? I mean, that I have never particularly shared any of that with anyone, because again, it's just so completely uninteresting. I mean, I mean, it'd be great. It'd be great date conversation. Like, you know, I had a dream that I was going to be working for this place. I was going to sit in a cubicle.
Yep. Yep. I mean, and it came true. How cool is that?
I know. Imagine.
That raised my coolest level like 14 points.
I got 6 skills, man. But, you know, I've written about this before, way back, just out of high school. I had a website that needs not to be mentioned because it's not as much fun as I had doing it. It's not right now a very proud moment. I wrote a lot of really dumb things. I was trying to be funny, but I think that everybody that knows me and the people that listen to the show knows that every once in a while, things that I find funny might not be funny to everybody else. So
rarely, but yeah.
Yes, yes. But I did write one long thing, and it was a serious piece, and it was about what I call the lifeline. You know, and everybody could do the strings of fate, you know, destiny, you know, are we on this steady line? And there's nothing that we can really do. I should say nothing that we can really do. But I mean, we have this path. I mean, we can almost go back to our suicide show, you know, because we have this natural need of going to the end, and we're cutting it off early. And that's the punishment. And then, but you know, so I always take it as I'm right where I need to be, or right where I'm supposed to be. You know, and that's why I'm showing this. Like, I don't know it at the time. I don't know how I connect into it. I don't know why I connect into it. What the purpose is, but once it actually, and I don't know that's what I'm seeing, because at the time it just means nothing to me. It's subconscious, just, you know, garbage to me until I'm there. And then I'm like, oh, obviously I'm right where I need, right where I'm supposed to be.
Right. Because things that you're witnessing are unfolding in your life along the path that you're on.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, it almost, and I don't know why, it almost brings me some comfort a little bit. Because whatever is happening, good or bad, you know, I look back at these different events that happened between then and now that brought me to this place, in time. And I'm just sitting there going, okay, so that had to happen to do this. That had to happen to do this. That had to happen to make this happen.
Right.
But on the flip side of it, I'm like, is it really that important? Is it really that important that I need to work at Ruan, that this had to happen? Because that really sucked. And so, you know, the funny thing is, and I say this all the time, is you never know the reason for why anything happens until it really no longer matters to you.
Yep. Now, when you're at the point where you can reflect upon it.
Yeah. Yep. You know, when you're like, oh, okay, I guess in order to be where I am now, that had, but it, you know, you still are like, well, that sucked. But you know, where would I be if it hadn't happened?
They're not always bad things. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that would tell you on their path that they're following like that they have like 2 or 3 or 4 like successful little mini accomplishments, and then that leads to maybe like a big raise or a big promotion within the company, or some big life event, like you meet your true love, or you know, if you're female, maybe that your doctor's told you for years you can't have kids, and all of a sudden you conceive. You know, I mean, like this true miracle type of thing happens for you. You know, so I think that that's I think that that happens a lot too.
Yeah,
it's not always just the like the looking back and frustration type of thing, but. But that obviously happens too.
Yes. So, I don't know. It's weird, but I don't particularly talk about it because it really means nothing to anybody else but me.
So until you have that great big one, like that bit, like the one of me walking in and having evil just racing down the hallways, like, and seriously, like a freight train. I mean, it sounds like a damn locomotive coming from both sides. So when you have that dream, then, you know, you'll have to discuss that, or something like big like that. You'll have to discuss that and then see where that actually kind of goes.
Yeah. But will I know that if, well, I know that that happens. I mean, because
I think you would remember the dream. I think if it's on that big of a scale, like, I think you would remember it. Not only would you remember it, but you'd want to talk about it, because it's such a, that when I had that premonition or had that precognitive experience, that was absolutely massive. I mean, the first thing I thought when I woke up is, man, I got to talk to somebody about this, because this is going to happen, and nobody's going to believe me that I knew about this happening if I don't share it with people now, you know? And then when it does happen, people will be like, holy crap, you were right. It happened, you know? So if you have something that big, you're going to be kind of in the same boat. You'll be like, man, I got to share this, because this is, if this really does come true, nobody's going to believe me when I tell them I knew it was going to happen.
That's true. You say that a lot, and I never believe you.
Well, it's okay. You don't have to believe me. You'll find out for yourself someday. That's fine.
All right. Well, that's all I really had for the whole psyche dream thing. I just kind of wanted to talk about it and see, get your opinions on it and whatnot. And, you know, because you've been around the field a lot longer than me, and yep. You do a lot more research than I do.
Yeah.
And so I often have topics where I just want to get your opinion on such stuff.
Absolutely. So before we jump into the thing, so what I was going to mention this earlier, and I looked it up, and I'm not going to base what I just read off of the two or three top hits that I got, but I, at one point, and I did it, and I've done a lot of research on this, and this is going back in time though. And I remember in college, I actually did a paper on dreams in one of my psych classes. And at that point, in all the research I could find, now this is before, I don't know, the internet was around, but I mean, it wasn't like it is today. You know, from what I found, not a lot of people dream in color. Most people dream in black and white, right? Now, the first thing I pulled up when I saw that is this website that says 70 to 80% of people dream in color. Well, that is certainly goes totally against all the research I did in college and what I discovered. But I don't know where it stands today. I don't know if that's increased. And if it has, that would be a really interesting thing to try and dig into. Because if it used to be the opposite, kind of flipped around, like only like 20% of people dreamed in color and 70 to 80% people dreamed in black and white, and now all of a sudden today it really is 70 to 80% people dream in color and only 10 to 20% people dream in black and white, that would be a hell of a shift. And I'd like to know what happened to cause that. You know, that would be a very, very interesting topic. And then there's still that certain percentage of people that don't dream at all. Or, and I know a person who, I don't know if they don't dream, or I don't know if they just can't remember any single thing about their dreams. I'm not sure which it is. And I've discussed it at length with them, and we can't come to a conclusion on it. It's still up in the air. But he swears that he doesn't dream. And I that's the only person I know. My whole entire life, of anybody I've ever met, there's only one person that I know that says that they don't have any dreams. And I find that hard to believe. I'm sure maybe there's some nights that you don't dream. I dream every night.
Yeah, I'll go a long time without a dream that I can remember. I was told once, not by you, but somebody years ago, that we have people on average have like 7 or 8 dreams a night.
Yeah.
But we just don't remember them when we wake up. And I know that I have, I know that I have had many, many, many times where I know I'm dreaming, I'm having a dream, I wake up, I'm like, I just woke up from a dream, and like 5 seconds later, it's all gone.
Really?
All I can remember is the fact that it was there. I can't remember. I can't remember like a single detail of it.
That's got to be frustrating.
I mean, it wasn't a, you know, it was me riding a tricycle. I mean, it's not a big, like, massive, important dream. It's just doing random stupid stuff. And I've had times where I've woken up laughing and I'm like, oh my God, that was hilarious. I got to tell some people about it. I'm going to tell them. I can't remember. But I can remember it was funny, you know, and that's it. But it's definitely a strange thing or dreams, you know, and I don't even think people really understand still like what causes them, you know. They call it images and ideas and stuff from your subconscious that float through your mind while you're sleeping.
Yeah.
But who, why, you know, why is it some random thing that, why is it sometimes bad? You know,
right.
why is it frustrating? Why are you doing something that makes no sense whatsoever? You know, why are you 5 years old blowing out a birthday cake?
Right.
You know, that it, I just, obviously that's where dream interpretation comes in. But I mean, there are some stuff that I've had in my dreams where I don't know how you can interpret it. You know, it's just, oh, well that, oh, you were a grown man riding a tricycle.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what this means. Are you sure?
Cause that does. I'm not feeling it. I don't feel that way. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, I don't know. But there is obviously one more topic that I do want to get to. We're going to have to go to commercial now before we do it. And that is, why is it easier, and why do they almost prefer spirits to communicate with you when you're asleep, you know, through your dreams, stuff like that. So we'll be back here in a couple minutes and, we'll hit that topic. So you're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para X.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs, and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line!
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's The Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X. Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Oh. UFOs. Bigfoot. Cryptids.
Orbs on the coin. You think if you listen to the words of Paranormal X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files, because if you don't, you're going to get abducted. And it didn't work.
And we're back. Welcome back. You listen to the Odyssey Files on Para-X. We're told we should do that like 3 or 4 times a show. But for me, it just seems very redundant.
Well, it's to remind people where they are in case they dozed off.
not during this show.
No.
So the subtopic or whatever that want to get into now is why do they prefer spirits to communicate with people while they're asleep? For everything that I've read, it's because our I don't want to say borders, our shields, you know, are down. Allow me a Star Trek reference, but
surprise.
I know. Hey, I could do an entire show with Star Trek references. Well,
I'm sure. Yeah.
But the thing that surprised me, where is it? Oh, I lost it. Crap. It is, we're open. But the one thing that surprised me when I was reading this, it includes beliefs. That our beliefs are down as well. And that surprised me because I don't
agree with that.
Don't you?
No. No, I totally. If you would have asked me what my thought was prior to you saying anything, I would have totally said that I think it's easier for spirits to communicate with us when we're sleeping and communicate with us in our dreams because our guard is down. That was exactly what I would have said to you. You know, is that we don't have our personal boundaries up surrounding us.
Boundaries. That's what I was looking for. Boundaries, not borders.
But I don't know that that you give up your beliefs while you're sleeping. I mean, you'd have to become then that would imply that you're becoming something that you're not, that you're becoming a different entity because your belief system is changing or is gone.
Well, I don't know if they want it. I don't think it had something to do with like religion or any of those type of beliefs. At least I don't think so. But I mean, what if you had the belief of spirits don't exist?
Okay.
And then the spirit wants to communicate with you. I mean, so when you're asleep, maybe you take that down. You're far more open. You're not thinking about spirits don't exist. Spirits don't exist. You're not pushing them away as opposed to just letting them come to you. Maybe if that's what they meant.
Okay. But I would say that person then in that example, that person would end up in a state of denial. They would have some other explanation as to what happened, and certainly that it could not have been a dead or a spirit entity that came to them because they don't exist.
Very, very true.
That's why I said, you know, if you're I don't think that you can lose your beliefs while you're sleeping. I don't think. I don't know. That's a good question. You know, I've really never thought of that. I'm just answering off the top of my head. So I don't think. I just don't think that you would. I don't think that you could just drop everything. All the things that have created who you are as a human being and all of your personal experiences and all of the things that you've saw on TV or heard in the news or a loved one told you or whatever, a childhood friend, something bad happened to them or good happened to them. And, you know, it formed who you are today. I just don't think all that goes away just because you're asleep. I think all of that, that's who you are. That's stored in your mind's eye. Kind of in your brain that isn't accessed on a daily basis because we don't need it on a daily basis. And I think that's probably the pool of where a lot of our dreaming comes from.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. It's just, I don't know. It's saying that they like to communicate with your subconscious, which brings up and dreams come from the subconscious and all this other stuff. I have to do more research on the subconscious because it seems to be way more powerful and important than what our conscious mind is.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people I think would see it the other way around.
No. I think your subconscious is 100 times more powerful than your conscious mind.
So But I know that a lot of people, there have been tons and hundreds of thousands, I don't think hundreds of thousands, of stories of loved ones, you know, coming to you, you know, after they've passed to say they love you, they're okay, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And there are a lot of times when people are like, well, I know this person is looking out for me.
Yep. You
know, and to me that's a belief. I don't know if they know that for sure, if they just want, you know, wishful thinking type thing. Like, you know, oh, my mother passed, I know she's looking out for me. You know, that right. kind of thing. As a way of comforting themselves.
Right. I would agree with that, yeah.
Me, on the other hand, I don't necessarily think that it's wishful thinking. I think it actually is happening, and I would like to tell you why. So about, it'd be 10 years? 10 years since my mother passed away. It was not natural, I'll tell you that much. It was terrible. She never came to me. You know, she actually passed obviously before I became an investigator.
Yeah, obviously. So, yeah.
I definitely think that had she lived to get to that, I think she would have been 100% for it. She probably would have been calling me like every time after investigation to find out what happened. Unlike my grandma, who wants me to quit immediately. Right. But that actually was really funny, because she would make fun of me forever for it when I first started. And she's like, oh, you're going to go see the ghosts? And, you know, she would laugh and laugh. And then I told her about all the bad things that happened. She's like, you need to quit that immediately. And, I do remember on two very, very personal and important occasions, she did. I remember very, very, one very vividly, one half, but I still remember the feeling very vividly. The first time was I in turmoil. I had a lot of stuff going on. Didn't know how I was going to deal with any of it. I wasn't calling for her or anything. Wasn't really thinking about her or whatever, but I do remember her showing up, and we had a normal conversation. It wasn't about anything important, but I do remember the hug. I definitely remember the hug.
There you go.
And I woke up and actually thanked her for coming, because it was like the most like everything is going to be okay.
Type right.
feeling that I had in months.
That's a mom hug. I mean, that's what a mom hug is.
Yes, right. Very, very much so.
Yeah.
The second time, however, I think was very, very much more important. I've mentioned before during the curses show that we did, I had an investigator who became disgruntled with me. She was very, very big into like the metaphysical world. She knew about witchcraft, stuff like that. She did not practice it, but she knew like how to do it or whatever, and found out that she had, you know, cursed me.
Well, not just you.
Well, not just me. It was me directly.
Right. You would be the recipient of the bad fortune, but everybody that was associated with you would be part of the curse.
Yes. It was. So I would slowly like go into depression and like end up committing suicide. And it was supposed to keep everybody else from investigating with me.
Right.
Is what I was told.
Right.
So during this time, before I was told it was released, we had it taken off of me, I guess. But my grandmother had a house in Eau Claire went to all the time. It was a beautiful home, gardens and everything. She had people would drive by her house just to see her gardens. They were beautiful. And I remember stepping up onto the porch. It looked a little different than normal, but it was definitely my grandmother's house. And she had one of those. It was just a single floor. It was a basement, but it was a ranch, rambler, whatever.
Yeah, rambler, one, right, with a full basement underground kind of thing.
Correct, yes. Yeah. And had the cement porch on front, and it had a side door that led into the garage. So in my dream, I'm walking down this porch towards this door, the side door into the garage. I remember opening it, and there was a step down, the real house, where there was a step down, it was a step, and then it was the floor to the garage. Well, in my dream, it was like three levels down. I mean, it was a big old drop. There was a floor, but it was like three stories down.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to like accidentally just fall down there.
Correct.
Yeah.
And just before I'm about to go into the garage, I hear just Mike just screaming my name. And I stopped and I turned, and in the real house, there was a small window that was head level that you could look out from the kitchen where the sink was. Well, in my dream, it was huge. It was like one of those big living room windows instead. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking in, and my mother and my grandfather, who had passed years and years, you know, probably 25 years ago now, if not even long, maybe 27 years now. But I still remember them. And they were both there, and they were like, "Stop!" And I'm like, "Okay." And I woke up. But apparently, and I told this to the person that told me that they removed this curse for me. I told this dream to them. And they told me that if I would have stepped into the garage, that the garage was, and because of the floor being so much lower, that it was the metaphorical representation of I was walking into hell.
Gotcha.
I don't know if you agree with that or not, or what your interpretation of it is.
Well, I would say that you were walking into a dangerous situation because it was only one step, and then instead of going down another 8 inches step height, you were going down three stories. So yeah. I don't know. I maybe the term hell is a little big to use there, but it could be. I mean, it could be your metaphorical hell. You know, yeah. What I mean? Like, right, to make this curse kind of come to fruition, I guess. In that respect, yes, I can see that.
Yeah. So basically what they were telling me was that my mother and grandfather were trying to stop me from doing this.
Right.
Which they did, because I never went. I woke up. I was like, oh, there's my mom and my grandfather. Hi. You know, and I woke up. But I will say that even though, as much as I would like to see her, I would love the mother hug. I understand why it only comes in certain times. I mean, so do you? I'm got enough pride left in me where after that first one I told you about, where she came just to comfort me,
right?
I probably cried for like 20 minutes when I woke up because I'm okay admitting that it was something that I definitely needed. But do you think that that's something as well, that they that even though yes they are watching out for you,
yeah,
that they're only willing to, I don't want to say interfere, but interact with you in just the most dire situations instead of having like some sort of dialogue?
I would think that, as we know, I would think most people know that moments of extreme stress and panic and stuff like that, you emit a ton of energy and emotions and pheromones and other things happen to your body, like legitimately biologically happen to your body, that you don't normally have going on in your life. So I think that in your second, I think in your first instance, that's wonderful because you were really down in the dumps personally. You had a lot of stress going on. Your mom came back and gave you a big hug and told you everything was going to be okay. And you should have cried for 20 minutes. You should have cried for 2 hours about it because it was that meaningful. I mean, there's nothing to be ashamed of at all for that. But the second one, I would definitely say that, you know, and it's interesting that you say this. I'm going to throw this out there just real quick for a second, is that you told me, you just said, you told me and you told everybody tonight that you don't remember any dreams. And you distinctly
remember these. Not all of them.
Not your common dreams. Right.
Common dreams. Wasn't a common dream.
No,
neither one of those two were common dreams.
No, I would say not. So I would say that it's a very good likelihood, and BJ would be a good person to talk to maybe this weekend, and maybe Chip would be to say, you know, I think that your grandfather and your mom are definitely part of your guardian angel party.
Do we have parties of guardian angels? I thought we were only supposed to have like one.
No, I don't think so. I think you have multiples. Because I know that, like, when we talk to Chris Fleming and we've talked to Chip, they always talk about their guides, not their guide, and about their you know, guardians. It's always plural. And those two guys right off the top of my head are the ones that I know that use them the most of people that we know. So, yeah, I think it's totally 100% legit that your grandfather is out there looking for you. And your grandfather probably wouldn't interfere in your life and just come over and pat you on the back and say, hey, I'm glad you changed oil today because, man, you were 552 miles over your due date. I don't think he's going to show up and do that.
That would actually be hilarious.
That would be hilarious. But I think it's at a time when, like, you're in a dire situation. I think that he came and basically jumped into your life and said, hey, you're not allowed in here. Stay out. And for a good reason.
Yeah, I mean, if that's true, and I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't either. I mean, it makes sense to me.
About what would happen if I had stepped into the garage.
I think better not to find out, to be honest.
No, absolutely not. I don't, you know, when I get home from work tomorrow morning, you know, I don't want to go to bed and be like, oh, look, I'm right back here again. I mean,
yeah,
let's find out.
No, right. Yeah. No, don't do that.
No, definitely not. But it was definitely reaffirming to me that they are going to be there if I need them.
Yep.
And I do think, because one of the things that I read, and it had nothing to do with dreams, but it was, it had partly to do with dreams. It was, if a spirit is trying to communicate with you, you know, what forms would it take? Dreams was one of them. Another one was if you just have thoughts pop into your head. And that happens all the time. And I've often wondered, especially lately, if... you know, because I'll just be sitting there trying to ponder something, and all of a sudden, like, poo, like it'll just, of course. And I think a lot of people call them muses. And I definitely wonder if it's from a guide or something like that that's trying to tell me something or show me or lead me down a certain path.
Maybe. But I think that's a great topic for another show, like a Dreams 2 show.
What, muses and stuff? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what you just said, you know, just sitting there pondering something and all of a sudden, boom, the answer just comes to you. And, you know, how did that happen? Is it from your subconscious? Is it your conscious mind that your education and your life experience has brought you to be able to logically solve that problem for yourself? Or... did something pop into your head because it was thrown there from somebody standing behind you? Like, hey, poof, here's the answer.
Yep, absolutely. I don't know if I'll ever know, but I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I take full credit for all of it.
Yes, you do.
So I'm like, that's a really great idea I just had.
Yep, 100%.
All right. Well, that's all the time that we have. I know that Dave and I could probably go for it at least another half hour just on this topic. This subtopic or whatever, but we have to get off before I get yelled at. So Paracon is this weekend, Friday, Saturday. Come see us up in Monoman or Monoman, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
The Shooting Star Casino. We will be there with probably the best booth ever. I mean, there's going to be like three TVs and stations of video and EVPs and the project, and it's going to be wonderful.
Yeah.
So a lot of really great talent is going to be there too. So
yeah, other than us.
Other than us. Yeah. Yes. Other great talent.
Other great talents. Correct.
So, all right. That does it for us. We will be back next week with probably just the Paracon recap. And we'll go from there. Everybody, have yourselves a great week and a good night.